Accession number 34799.
Reel 3.
Right, every night.
Reel number 3, Peter Waddington.
Yes. Every night, stamped you at 6 o'clock if you weren't out on patrol. If you're on patrol, that was different matter altogether. Every machine gun and gun artillery along the front line opened up. Every one. And all you could see was tracers going over. And that lasted for about 20 minutes, I should think. It was a show of force, really. Now then, going back to these patrols, another occasion I can remember is a patrol. It was a standard patrol called Item. It wasn't very good play. It wasn't very good that. It was out in no man's land. Now, we used to mark our minefields with wire and these red markers we put on them so people would know where the minefields were. The Koreans and Chinese didn't. They scattered their mines where they knew they were, but we didn't. Anyway, this Item, nobody liked it really, and used to go out in no man's land beyond the mine wire fence. And this particular night, I remember, there's a couple of particular nights I could tell you about Item. Well, this particular night, we'd gone out through A Company. We were in B Company, but to get there, we had to go out through A Company, which was well forward. And going out, I saw a mate of mine that I'd met going in the army. The railway station, actually, we were together. Ken Lewis, yeah. And he was a Lance Corporal with A Company, and he was going out on patrol in a different place with A Company. And they said, where are you going, Item, obviously? So anyway, we went on to an Item. Went out through the mine gap. That went out through the gap in the minefield to this hole in the ground, which we called Item. We got down there, and like I say, it was a six-hour night, this. And it was very cold. And it wasn't snowing, I think it was just wet and damp. And we were there for quite some time. It got to 12 o'clock. And that's right, it was a 12 hour one, this. Because we'd been out at 6. And it got to 12 o'clock. I said, come on, we'll be back behind the mine wire. Because you could do that after you'd been there so long. So we moved back down the mine wire. As we were doing it, we saw this flare go up down towards A Company's positions. Trip flare. Now, it can be anything. It can be people walking, it can be an animal that sets it off, anything. So we waited, one gun. Got nothing over the radio. But, well, we'd not seen anything. Come on. It's okay. So we went back down the mine wire. And we'd not been there very long, and they have these behind the mine where they have these telephones on a wire that's there all the time. If you want to ring anyway, do that. A handle on it, yeah. Anyway, it rang. They don't ring, they have a little thing that lights up like that when someone's calling. Obviously, they don't ring. They started flashing. So I picked this thing up, yeah. And it was Ken Lewis on patrol with the A Company. He said, did you see that flare? I said, yeah. He said, right. He said, I don't want to bother you, he said, but there's about 30 Chinese or Koreans coming down the mine wire towards your position. So he said, just watch out. It's a bottom line. I thought, well, it's only four of us. What can we do? Not a lot. I said, okay, Ken, right. So I told the lads, oh dear. I said, there's about 30 coming down the mine wire. I said, to my mind, they think they've known about this Item. And it's a snatch patrol, because that's what they used to do, come out and snatch somebody or make a mess. So we were back behind the mine wire, so we weren't too bad. because if they tried to come through the gap, which was as wide as that table probably, you could do something about it. But if they were all together, you couldn't. Anyway, we waited and waited, and then we heard it. So they wanted to go back. Oh, let's go back, let's get out of it, you know. I said, listen, if we start moving, they'll know. And they have a lot of automatic weapons, we didn't. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I didn't want to do it, but I said, there's some paddy bulls, we used to call them, you know, paddy banks. I said, there was no water in them then. They're all desolate and not been, these rice fields not been used for years, had they? I said, there's a paddy bank about 100 yards over there. I said, what are we going to do after I'd been on this phone? I said, we're going to run like hell and get behind that paddy bank. Well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to bring a DF down on top. He said, that's defensive fire. And that brings it all down on you, where you are, on just forward of it. So I got on it. I said, yes, of course. I said, I want a DF fire an item in 2 minutes. He said, 2 minutes? I said, in 2 minutes, I want a DF fire an item. So I said, that's it. I slammed it down. And we had a Korean with us who couldn't speak English. So he didn't know what was happening. Just tapping on the shoulder. And we started running. He didn't. I had to go back and grab him. We got to this paddy bank. We just got behind it and we could hear these coming. Oh, and it started exploding. No. Any shrapnel was going over our head. So we're okay. We could hear it. We were okay. I thought, yes, not a bad idea to mind that, really. But it was landing an item. And that went on mortar bombs and all sorts, yeah. And then it stopped after quite some time. And we couldn't hear anything. So we're back to this position where we'd come from and getting in touch with us from A Company. And it was an intelligence officer, I think, and he said, we're sending a sniper down with an officer. So, see if everything. I thought everything seemed okay. Anyway, they sent this sniper down with an officer and came down. And at the time, they were trying these sights out on these snipers' rifles where you could see about 30 yards in the dark. Everything looked green, but you could see about 30 yards. He let me have a look. I thought, these are good, we should all have these. And couldn't see anything. He said, well, we'll go forward and see what we can see. I said, do you want us to come with you? He said, no, you stay away, yeah, this officer. I said, we'll go. And they went, and they had gone about 20 minutes. Then we heard them coming back. Oh, we thought it was them. And they said something, so, yeah. That was our. I said, what did you find, anything? He said, some blood-stained clothing. He said, that's all we found. He said, it's done some damage, whoever was there. He said, they probably took him back with them or whatever. He said, but there's no one else out there. Well, that was it, really. That was that time. The other time I had some, it was like a re-entry, and a re-entry is like a gap between two hills. And this was forward of this re-entry item. I was on there another time. And the Chinese and North Koreans were attacking a hill on our right, left if you looked at it that way, but was on our right. And they were attacking a hill there. Now, when they attack a hill, you don't go out and help them. Because our troops are on the top of the hill. So you don't go out and get behind the Chinese, because you take the fire from your own troops, don't you? Chinese don't know this. So to stop any troops coming through that re-entry between the two hills, what they do is put a bombardment down. And it just happened to be where Ayton was when we were on it with these other three lads. And all we had was nothing really, small packs, and there was like a few trees there. And you get these shell bursts, which we didn't like. They're even worse than the ordinary ones because they scatter shrapnel all over the place. And it was lasted for over 3 hours. And we reckoned they were getting a shell every minute, about 60 in an hour, in this re-entry. And it lasted over 3 hours. And we didn't get, none of us were hurt. And these trees were in shreds. And none of us were hurt. I could not believe we got away with it. No.
So maybe you are lucky after all.
Hmm?
You are lucky after all.
That's it. That's it, isn't it? Right. Right, going on from that, we'll go to another position. And they're going to put an attack in on this Chinese Korean hill. Five platoon going first, six platoons a cover, right? The second one. Now, as five platoon are coming through, six platoon to go down into the valley to go up this hill. There's Bobby Scott, that's another one, Robert Scott, another mate of ours, used to be in 6th platoon, but he made up to a corporal and went to 5th platoon. And I'd have been having a bit of trouble with our sergeant, maybe, because I don't like saying it, I'm not even going to mention his name. But he was someone who didn't do what others did. He kept out of the way of everything. He never went on a patrol like other sergeant majors. He never did anything. And he probably knew I had no real respect for him. So things were like that with us. And as Bobby Scott's coming through, I'd not seen him for a long time, but he'd heard about this. And he said, "What's all this trouble you've been having?" I said, "What trouble, Bobby?" He said, "You know," he said, "there's something up," he said, "between you and," I'm not going to mention his name. I said, "Yeah, it's been going off a bit." I said, "I'll tell you what, when we finish this, I'll come over to fire platoon and we'll have a good talk." Right, okay, so that was it. Anyway, they go off and we follow them round. And we're at the bottom like that. Now, what they call an arrowhead formation is like an arrowhead. And that is how five platoon were going up this hill. If you draw fire, you're not in a line. So anyway, they're going up this hill, they've not been going very long. And there's an explosion, a large one, where they are. What was it, a shell? No, they stopped in mines, got into minefield, haven't they? So it stopped. No attack, that's finished. There's quite a few injured, a couple dead up there. We didn't know at the time, we knew after it was still dark, wasn't it? And stretcher bearers, we're out of our old stretcher bearers. But with it being very hilly, you know, it's terrible for these stretcher bearers in Korea. So we were helping them. And we're going up this hill, and this lad's on a stretcher, and there's these four stretcher bearers, but one's a bit puffy. Oh, I said, "Give it here." Oh, they go. And I took it off him. I was helping him up the hill with the stretcher, and this guy says, "Is that Pete?" "Bloody Bobby Scott on a stretcher, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah." I said, what have they done to you, Bobby?" He said, "How bad is it?" "Oh, look, terrible. All his sides gone here." That's what I could see. I said, "Oh, you're okay, Bobby." I said, "Get you back to Japan, you'll be all right." Because they only had field hospitals. They couldn't, like today, take him back and put him in hospital. I mean, today, they're there. Then, anything serious like that, you're back, you had to go all the way back to Japan, fly there. And I said, "Oh, you'll be all right." I said, I'm coming up to leaving. This is a few weeks time, a couple of weeks time, I'm away on a boat from Japan. So I said to him, "I'll come and see you. You'll be in Japan." I said, "You might even be on the same boat as me going home." I said, "You'll be all right, Scotty." Right. So anyway, these lads take him away. That was it, wasn't it? And that was the end of that. There was a couple dead. You know, near anyway. Them his names in the roll of honour there, all of them. And yeah, I thought, well, I hope he is all right. I mean, he was quite alert then. He wasn't unconscious or anything. Just bleeding badly. Anyway, he died in Japan. That was another one. Bobby Scott. Oh, terrible, isn't it? So anyway, we went from there, and the next thing is getting here. During all this time, when there's a searchlight up in the air, the peace talks are on. And it had been on for quite some time, these peace talks. And things were hotted up, because it's a stupid thing to say. They wanted to get back the peace of North Korea that we were in. So they were attacking all along the front line, in thousands. And it wasn't really getting anywhere. Now, the worst part on our front line was called the Hook. And nobody wanted to go on the Hook, because you're about 300 yards away from their lines. And when they attacked, they used to attack in thousands, shouting and blowing bugles and all this, that and the other. Anyway, we came out, and they said that we're going in reserve on the Hook. That means you're not actually on the position of the Hook, you're back behind it. And on the Hook, they had, who was it? That West Yorkshire. What's it? The Duke of Wellington's regiment. That's who were on the Hook at the time. And there's a Turkish regiment on there. Had gone up. The Black Watch were in reserve with us. And I think that was it. There was three English regiments and a Turkish regiment. And then we'd only been there a few days in reserve, no hell exploded. He could hear this heavy artillery, and it was apparently over a 24-hour period, there were 10,000 shells landing on the Hook against, on our, you know, away from the Chinese and North Koreans were doing it. So we knew there was an attack imminent. So the two in reserve, the Black Watch, the King's Regiment, had to go onto the Hook. Right? And on the Hook, it wasn't trenches, it was tunnel. They call it tunnel warfare. And the shelling was terrible, and the patrols were terrible, and there was a lot of life lost on the Hook. Now this, as we know now, was in the May, before it actually had the peace drawn up in the July. So this was in the May. And I'm due to go home. I thought, here we go, so we go to the Hook. Right, going up to the Hook is another of my mates, Billy Thompson, gets a piece of shrapnel through his shoulder. He goes back, he's okay, but he gets this shrapnel through his shoulder. So out of five of us, you've got three dead, one wounded, and I'm okay. And then Evans is saying, "You're the lucky one." I was only there on the Hook a week. I left all them lads there, and they took a real battering. And I was away, on a train, back to Pusan, on a boat to Japan, on the Empire Orwell coming home. Yeah. Get home, what happens then? You land at Southampton, you get a train, where to? You go up to Liverpool, don't you? You get off the train there in Liverpool. What's meeting you? An officer. There's a pound. Right? Go well Tuesday. Right? And come back and get demobbed. That was it. That's your welcome home, that. Yeah.
After all that.
A pound. There you are. There's a pound. Come back on Tuesday and get demobbed. Right. So, all them going to Manchester, we all had a good idea. Might have been mine, I don't know. Because I was a bit way out then, you know, did things. I said, I'll tell you what, the 14th, when we get demobbed, is Thursday. I said, we'll go back on Wednesday. I said, when we get there, we'll swear blind, he said, Wednesday. So we were all absent without leave from Manchester for one day. And they could do nothing about it. So we went out on the Wednesday night and got drunk in Southport. What they had done about it, they wouldn't give us a mattress for the beds. We had to sleep on springs. And I said, they think that's hard. Yeah. I said, it's like luxury sleeping on them springs. Yeah. And that was it. I probably missed quite a bit of help. Yeah.
I mean, we were saying before we started the tape, just as one last little comment here, is that your experiences as a kid being bombed in the Second World War.
Yes.
Do you think that, that it wouldn't have made it easier, I'm sure. That's
it didn't
a
make
silly
it,
thing for me
no.
to say, but it was more expected.
Yeah. We knew what the Second World War was. And there were Second World War veterans with us, you know, that had gone through the Second World War, a couple of the sergeants and sergeant majors, and they said, we have never, ever seen anything like Korean War. We have never seen anything like it. We used to say, when God made this world, he dumped all the hills he'd got left over in Korea. Yeah, it was that bad. That's how it is. So nice today, I've been back twice and it's lovely the way they've done Seoul. Now we're talking about building a bridge over the Mersey near Warrington. Been talking about it. The last time, or was it the first time I was there? I think it was the last time I was there in Korea. And we're talking these Koreans in the hotel, it's obviously something to do with the council and what have you. He said, yes, we're just building our 29th bridge over the Han River. Yeah.
And what do you think of it now? Because you have been back since, haven't you?
I've been back twice, yes. They treat you that well. It's unbelievable. You are embarrassed. Yeah. I mean, the first time I went back, that was probably the best time because they just take you to Seoul. That's where you go and you do days out to different war graves and things like that. There's a big war grave there now. And it's well looked after. And they have the photographs of every one who's died so they can put photographs on the graves. And, no, when we were there, there was four of us. They wanted four of us to go to Taegu, where they had the last stand, right? And they couldn't find anyone to go because Seoul's a lovely city now and all these bars and restaurants and Taegu's still sort of small place. Okay, but it's small. And anyway, they asked, there was Billy Thompson, that's the one who got the shrapnel through his shoulder, he lives in Formby. There was another Liverpool lad, I've forgotten his name. And there was, we're all in the King's Regiment, and there was a lad in the RESC that had been in Korea from Yorkshire, somewhere in Yorkshire. And they asked four of us if we'd go to Taegu with the Americans. The Americans wanted four English soldiers. And they asked us if we'd go with the Americans for a week and then come back to Seoul for the last, because it used to be 11 days then. It's only a week now, but it used to be 11 days. come back to Seoul for 4 days. I said, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll go. What a time we had with them Americans. I mean, they wanted them from all 28 countries. 28 countries involved, and it's the first United Nations army to be involved like that. And, there was, from every country, there was somebody, you know, Greece and Fiji and, yeah, all over, yeah, Turkey. And, it was good, and they really looked after us there. And they put the show on for us on the edge of the river, near where the bridge had been bombed. Now, that bridge, they've rebuilt the middle of it. The outside pieces they've kept, and there's shell holes and bullet holes in the stonework, and they've kept that and just done the new part in the middle. Anyway, they put this show on, and there must have been 100,000 people lining the river just to look at us, and they had us all up on the stage with the television crews and this, that, and the other, and they're all, you know, terrible, isn't it? Oh, you feel terrible. And even now, after that, all these years, you still get letters. Well, the last one, they've finished now. From the president and people like that, you know. That place, I think there's only the four of us. I mean, the only four in England. We all got the Watsits from Taegu, you know, these, what do they call them? Citations. For citizenship of Taegu, of Chilcot County. Yeah. Well done, in the frame. And we've got all these drums and things. You know the big drums they have? We all got the small ones with your name on. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Oh, a very different experience. Mm. A very different experience.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Well, we're right up towards the end of the final reel. We're almost at the end of the final reel, so you've timed this to perfection, if
good.
I may say so.
Good.
So
I've probably left, well, I must have left on myself. These are the things that stick in your mind.
Well, I think you've done pretty well. So.
They did better.
And that's the poetry of the Korean War that you're
referring
to.
They did better. All those lads in there.
And it's published
how
by,
they did all that, I
published
don't know.
By the Korean Veterans Association.
Yeah. How they did that, in the, these are lads that were captured, them. All them. What they thought and what they did.
Well, thank you very, very much for all your time today.
Well, I hope we can use it.
I'm sure we can. Thank you very much.
Well, those lads, four lads that, the three that got killed, and they're all in there. In fact, I took them off somewhere.
That's the role of honour, isn't it?
Eddie Annan and Hyam is another, all them that were in B Company. Yeah. That's the role of honour, that, yeah. There's Bobby Scott, the last one. Robert. He didn't like that name. No. And Eddie. Where's Evans? Eddie, his little Jimmy Evans. The one who says, "You're lucky."
Well, I think he's right.
I think he was.